Okay, so the shiloh that I posted on the WhatsApp chat, in case anybody didn't see it, maybe we should just all move a little closer. It's like this. Well, first of all, we could share some sheets. And second of all, if anybody wants to learn on the other side of the room, they could feel free to do that. We started off the topic last week. You can sit here. You're welcome to sit right here. Yes, absolutely.
I get the front row seat.
That's right. And you did. You're welcome to sit here as well. So we introduced the topic last week over the past 2 weeks of Nat Bar Nat. Nat Bar Nat means where you have a tam, but the tam has transferred through another medium. So in the past few weeks, we've been discussing what happens if you have a par of food, which was cooked in a dairy or in a meat pot, and then it mixes with the opposite gender, let's call it. So you have macaroni, which is parif, and it gets cooked in a dairy pot, and then you want to eat it together with meatballs. Or the other way around, you have macaroni cooked in a meat pot, and you want to eat it with cheese. Same thing with potatoes or vegetables, anything that would be parif. The example of the Gemara was fish. So now we have a shiloh as follows. A person puts into his dishwasher, he has two dishwashers, a dairy one and a meat one, and he trains his children very well that when they finish eating dinner, you take your cutlery and your plate and you put it into the dishwasher. And his kids are very good about it, but sometimes they just don't realize which dishwasher is the appropriate dishwasher to put it in. So when he finishes eating his macaroni and cheese, he takes his plate and his fork and he puts it into the dishwasher, and it just turns out that that dishwasher was the meat one, or the opposite case, whatever it would be. And now you have a bunch of different kalim. You have a bunch of plates, spoons, forks, and knives, and everything else that's inside this dishwasher. And you run the cycle of the dishwasher, and you open the dishwasher, and as you're putting things away, you say, oh no, I see that I have in this dishwasher some forks and some knives that don't belong with this set. It's supposed to go on the other side of the kitchen. So you find yourself having a problem that your dishwasher has mixed up kalim in it. And essentially what could have happened over here was you have two potential problems. Number one, which is a major problem, is the problem if you have actual cheese on your fork and you have actual meat inside the dishwasher. So you could end up putting in this dishwasher meat and milk together. And now if you have boiling hot water inside the dishwasher, in essence, what you're doing is cooking milk and meat together in the process of washing your dishes. And now you have treifa water in your dishwasher, because it's basar b'chalav of water. Imagine like a soup. You have a big, huge pot of water, and you have inside that water some cheese and some meat, and it's, you know that sound the dishwasher makes, like, and it's swooshing, and it's cooking, and the meat and the cheese is all being thrown all around your dishwasher. And the question is, that are all you perhaps all your kalim treif? Now you have so that's number one. Number one problem: if you have actual mamashes on your dishes, do you have a problem of basar b'chalav over here, of real actual basar b'chalav cooking in your dishwasher? And that would be number one. Number two would be even if it's clean. And many people before you put your dishes in the dishwasher, rinse it, because I'm sure people have experienced, you put very dirty things in the dishwasher, it ends up getting mostly clean, but baked on to those dishes, onto that silverware, onto those plates, you end up having very hard, because it goes through the drying process, very hard chullent or very hard cheese that's stuck to your fork and to your knife, and people try to avoid that. So what they do is they don't want to sit there scrubbing each dish with soap and with water, but you put it in the sink, you rinse it beforehand, so all of the actual food goes off, but the dishes are just still not clean. So in such a case, what you have is, you have the blias, you have kalim, which were bailea, which absorbed into them the tam, and then that really gets us to our topic, which is much more relevant to Nat Bar Nat, because here what you have is, you have a fork which has absorbed into it a dairy taste, and you have another fork standing right next to him which absorbed meat taste. And the question is, what happens when you wash it? Are you actually mixing together all these flavors? And essentially what you're going to have here is basar b'chalav, the tam of basar b'chalav being mixed together. What's the matter?
Don't you have soap? Wouldn't that make it pogum?
So that's another point. So you have soap. So what you're pointing out is if you have soap, then what happens is before the flavor gets onto the, gets transferred, it already becomes pogum. That's a very good point, and it's actually, I noted that on the sheet in source number 5 and 6. It happens to be that the Mechaber is the one who writes it. The Shach has a very big problem with it, but the Pesach Tshuva kind of settles it. So we'll get to that very soon. But we have to start all the way from the beginning. And this really, this topic starts with Machlek is between the Rosh and Tosfos and how it works. We're going to assume, for the sake of this case, that we're talking about dishes that were mostly clean. They're mostly clean, but they're balua with tam rishon, with what we're calling full-fledged toms. In other words, you have a fork which you used to mix your, a dairy sauce. I want it to be really, really on the flame. It's on the flame. There's milk cooking on the flame. And you put a spoon in there on the flame and you mixed it. It's like this. The spoon's going into a kli rishon on top of a fire into boiling hot milk. So now you have a ben yomi, you have a spoon, which was used today to mix milk and cheese. You finish using that spoon, you rinse it off in the sink, and then you put it into the dishwasher. Now the same exact thing happened on the other side of your kitchen or the other side of your burner. You had something which was meaty cooking, you had something which was fleishigs, and you took that fork. And let's make it into a real case. No chumras over here. It's not that you used the fork simply on your plate. You have a fork that was used today on top of a fire to mix the chalant, right? So you have beef or chicken soup cooking on the fire, and you took the spoon and you put it in and you mixed it. Now you took those two spoons and you put it into your dishwasher. Then that same day, you turn your dishwasher on. So what happens? So now we have to look at the rush. This is source number one on our page. And he writes as follows: V'kayrois shenishtamshu behem basar shehudchu b'yorach eleves v'shneiem b'nei yoyman havali nat bernat. Let's just get some context to what happens over here. It seems like the way they would wash dishes back in the times of the Rishonim, at least, was they had this very large pot, and they would fill it up with water, and they would heat it, and they would put lots of dishes in there, and that's how they would wash it. So they didn't necessarily do this every day, but they didn't have running water. So washing dishes was something you did, I guess, I don't know, once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month. But in between, you kind of just rub them down, you clean them down, and then you put them into a large pot, into a yerach, a very large pot, and that's how you would wash the dishes to get them effectively clean. So now, the Rosh says, if you wash the kairos plates, shenishtam shuben basar, were used with meat, shehudchu b'yorach eleves, they were washed in a large dairy pot, v'shneim ne'yemen, and both of those were used that day, havalei nat barnat. This is a classic case of nat barnat, and we mentioned before that the Rashi quotes the Sefer HaTruma, but ultimately, how do we pass with regard to nat barnat, which is second generation taste for Ashkenazim? We said l'chatchila don't do it, but b'di'eved, if it was already mixed together, it's fine. So, think. And he explains. What happens? Habasar b'kaira, b'kaira b'mayim. The water, the beef, the meat, gives flavor into the plate. V'hakaira, this dish, this plate, gives off flavor into the water. V'idenu heter. And at that point in time, everything's fine. It's fleishig. So the water is going to have a fleishig taste. Ad sheyis ariv b'oisei ha'mayim, tam ha'chalav ha'niflut b'nayera. The same thing happens. You have flavor that goes into the pot from milk. Then the milk is removed from the pot. And now you want to remove that flavor from the walls of the pot into the water. So what mixes into this water of the pot? You have flavor which went a day ago, well, within 24 hours, but earlier, let's just say earlier that morning, you had beef flavor that went into the plate, milk flavor that went into the pot. Milk and beef are all gone. And now you have absorbed into the plate and into the pot. One of them has basar, one of them has chalav. Now you put water into that pot and you cook it. What happens? The walls of the pot and the walls or the actual plate now will expel its flavor into the water of that pot. So what happens? They both go into the water as a davar heter. In other words, it's kosher milk, it's kosher meat. They both go into the water as a weak level of flavor, and they mix as heter. That's not barnat. That's a classic case. Make believe the water was macaroni. So just like macaroni, if it got that taste, you'll be able to later mix it with cheese, or maybe not l'chatchila according to the mechaber, according to the Rama, but certainly would be mutter to eat it. So in our case, you have your flavor of your beef that comes out into the water, flavor of your milk that comes out into the water, and then they're going to mix. By that point in time, maybe you shouldn't have mixed them l'chatchila. You shouldn't have mixed them, but now that they're mixed, it's fine. So when it goes back into the pot, it's kosher. Okay? Make sense? The Rosh says make sense to us? The problem is that Tosfos disagrees with this. If you look at the diagram that I drew on the bottom, it's I don't know if you could actually watch this happen, but what he's doing over here, what I'm doing here in this picture is describing what it would look like according to the Rush. You have in this big pot, you have on one side the blias of chalav, you have the absorbed flavor of chalav that goes into the water, and then the blias of basar, they stand alone up by themselves, and then they mix themselves into the water of the pot. However, you can see in the other picture of the Tosfos over there, he obviously understands that the science happens differently, and what he says, just to paraphrase, let's get the words over here, he writes, in source number 2, v'kairoi shemishtamshim behem basar, shehudchu b'machvas shal chalav kli rishayin. Exactly the same case. You have fleshig plates that were washed in a large pot, which was milchig, b'kli rishayin, v'shnei b'nei yoyim, and both of them were used that day. Yesh le'asar afilu im neymar lavdavka olu al afilu nispashlu. According to everybody, says Tosfos, even if you're going to pass like the Mechaber, that's make a lechatchila, that you're allowed to mix cheese into your macaroni cooked in a fleshig pot. One second. I go to the second to last line. V'oid delay dummy klal adagim shalu b'kayra. This is not at all similar to the case of fish of something which is parav, which was cooked in a or cooked or placed on a dairy. Sorry, in that case, on a meat plate. Tahakishat kishatam sheni. That's something else. So basically what he says over here is that you don't get to make a slow motion chronological mixing over here. It doesn't work that way. In other words, according to Tosfos, what happens is you view the flavor like on two different sides of the pot. You know, the pot expels its flavor into the walls, and then the plate expels its flavor, the pot expels its flavor from the walls into the outer layer of the water. The plate expels its flavor into the center of the water. Now they're both kosher, and then subsequently they'll mix as what we'll call a very weak flavor. Tosfos says it doesn't happen. That's not how it works. What happens is, first the two flavors mix. At that point in time, it's too late already. They go into the water, and they cause the water to be basar b'chalav. Does everyone understand what I'm saying? Because it's a little complicated.
They're arguing about the definition of not barnat, or they're arguing about...
Everyone's agreeing what a not barnat is. We're not discussing what the definition of not barnat is. That was last week's discussion. We discussed what the Rivan holds, what Tosfos holds, what the Sefer Truma holds. That was last week's discussion. Now everyone's going to agree, even in the best case scenario, that we're going to call this a not barnat. Now we're deciding, is this indeed called a not barnat? The water that's sitting inside your pot, how do you view that? Where, as according to Tosfos, and what I'm telling you really is very, it's the Ran writes it in source number 3. He writes it in much more detail. But ultimately, this is how he describes this machlokes between the Rosh and the Ran. Does everybody understand? Because it's complicated. Okay, we'll do it just one more time. Look at the picture. According to the Rosh, what you have is first freestanding blias of chalav, taste of milk, and freestanding taste of basar, of meat. Now, when you look at those two independent tastes, you look at them and say, this taste of meat, where did it come from? And you start tracing it back, all the way back to its original, its origin. Where did it come from? You say, hold on. It came from the wall of the pot. Now, where did the wall of the pot get it from? It got it from a food that was cooked earlier this morning. So what you're going to say is, it's two generations later. Because it goes into, it goes from the milk into the pot, from the pot into the water, and now you want to take that flavor and put that flavor back into your dish that's washing there. So, right? Does that make sense? You have a dairy pot, and you have a fleishig dish. Okay? Now they're both put together. How are they put together? Because you're washing off your fleishig dish inside your milchig pot. Okay? So now, what you have is, you have a fleishig dish expelling his flavor into that water, and you have a milchig pot expelling his flavor into that water. Now, if those two flavors are going to mix immediately, you're going to have basar b'chalav. Okay? Does that make sense?
At that point, when they're in the pot mixing, it's not bar not at that point.
That's too early. Because, in other words, to drink that water would be a problem.
That's Tom from a basar b'chalav.
Right. What would help is when it goes back into the next one. Right? Make sense? Does this make sense?
So why does Tosa say that's not bar not? Not bar not.
Because Tosa says what happens is, first the flavors mix. Another
flavors mix. It's something that's absorbed in the keli. It's got to come.
What we need is that it will travel through the water. In other words, let's think of it.
Traveling through the water, then it's like.
Now, one second. If the water itself becomes basar b'chalav, would you? In other words, would you be able to drink the water itself?
No.
Why not? So now that water, which is basar b'chalav, now goes back into your dish. That's what Taisa says happens. Okay? In other words, in a normal case where you're not dealing with a mixture of basar b'chalav in the pot, you're dealing with a piece of fish, or a piece of, or a vegetable, a macaroni, it's a potato. It goes into a pot. So now that's going to come out of the pot. And then later you want to mix cheese. Here in the actual pot, which is the not bar not pot, there's already a mixture of two flavors. Do you understand what's going on here? Yeah, that's what we explained. That this whole thing of not bar not only works with basar b'chalav. It doesn't work with iser. And the reason for that is because basar b'chalav is an interesting phenomenon. Because you have two things which are perfectly kosher, according to everybody. You know, we mentioned last week, it's mamish, it's the most kosher you can get. It's glatt kosher meat, according to everybody, it's Beis Yosef meat, and you have chalav Yisrael milk. Everyone would drink it. Two glatt kosher things, everyone would eat it, and all of a sudden you mix it together and becomes something so potent, so terrible, that it's absolutely forbidden, not only to eat it, but to cook it. You're not allowed to benefit from it. That's a chiddush. The Gemara calls that a chiddush. Now, in order to create such a chiddush like that, you need to have real bona fide taste of chalav and real bona fide taste of basar. Now, if it's a weaker version of basar, a weaker version of chalav, you can't create a brand new iser by mixing two very weak things together. So the question is, in our case, go ahead, Dovi, what's the matter?
So Tesis is saying that the basar and chalav mix together and are then absorbed back into the initial keli. And the Rush is saying that the things come out and stay separate. And if you get some chalav into the fleishig and some fleishig,
according to the Rush, is more of like a chronological order. What happens is first the flavor comes out of the pot into the water and stays in it by itself. It's two separate items. At that point in time, it's too weak to mix together to create a new iser because it's already in the water. According to the Rush, it mixes right away, then goes into the water.
But by the time it gets back, the other way around. By the time it gets back to the walls of the plate or the pot, it's
basar b'chalav already. It's too late. According to the Tosfos, it's too late. Once it's in the water mixing together, it's basar b'chalav. It's over. The story's over.
It's as if you took your item and put it in a pot with basar b'chalav, as opposed to what the Rush is saying, where it's two
right.
separate entities.
So it can't become basar b'chalav, but if it's basar b'chalav tam, they can go back into the kli.
Right.
So it's not a case of not bar not because it's a one flavor going directly in.
Right.
It's nice and tam of basar v'chalav that's going in.
Exactly, according to the Tosfos, that's what's happening. So it's real tam of basar v'chalav that's going in. The counter argument to Tosfos would be, you know,
didn't we discuss something where water creates a separation?
Yes, but again, let's be clear about that. The water creates a separation if there's no isser at that point. The case that we said the water helps is you have a milk pot, a dairy pot. Okay, you used it this morning to cook milk in it, so it's real. It's really a milk pot. Now you empty out the milk, you clean out the pot, and now you cook water in that pot. Then you throw macaroni in the pot. So everything is kosher here. Everything's perfectly fine. The question is, do you now have milk in your macaroni? So what we'll say is that no, because the milk went into the pot, and then it was cleaned out, then the flavor is absorbed into the wall of the pot and expels it into the water, and then the water transfers that taste into your macaroni. So we're saying that's too far down the line. There's too many steps. The milk went into the pot now went into the water, and now you want the water to make your macaroni into dairy. That's not going to make it dairy. And therefore, your kosher macaroni, even in the worst case, your macaroni will be dairy. So if you were to go ahead and put meeples on top of that macaroni, that would be mutter to eat. The problem is, in this case, in the water itself, you now threw in a fleishig dish. So now in the water itself, that is now absorbing taste from the wall of the pot, you also have the opposite. You have a dish inside that pot, which is expelling taste of meat. So according to Tosfos, what happens is, first the two flavors mix, and now you have flavor of basar b'chalav sitting inside this water, and then it makes the water treif. So now you have treif water. You have basar b'chalav soup here. And now you're going to go ahead and pull your dish out. According to Tosfos, now you have the flavor of basar b'chalav sitting inside your pot. We're out of time, but we'll continue with this next week, because it's a very important topic, and it comes up mamish all the time.